I am Planta on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. The one-act musical Once on This Island has a limited engagement on Granville Island starting this Friday, the 6th of April, running until the following Saturday, the 14th of April, with a book and lyrics by Lynn Ahrens and music by Stephen Flaherty. It is set on an island in the Caribbean and has elements of Romeo and Juliet and Hans Christian Andersen's The Little Mermaid. I'll get this production's director, Damon Jang, to tell us more about the show. We're also joined by Marian Landers, who is this show's choreographer. I'll ask them about the production's casting, which draws on the diversity in this community. We'll also talk about the company, fabulous theater, and more. The show is on at the Redgate Review Stage, 1601 Johnston Street on Granville Island. The Twitter handle is at Fabulous Theater. Tickets are available at ootivan.brownpapertickets.com. Please welcome to the Planta Online program Marian Landers and Damon Jang. Ms. Landers, good morning.
Good morning.
And Mr. Jang, good morning.
Good morning.
I'll start with you, Damon. Is this the first time that you both have worked together?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, and so you're the associate choreographer, and she and Marian is the choreographer. How do you guys work together?
Okay, well, I guess I'll field that first, and then I'll let Marian jump in. So for me, because I serve as the director as well, too, I kind of had a vision in mind of how I wanted the show to look, and but I wanted... the show is so rooted in a Caribbean. It's set on an island in the Caribbean, and so I myself, as a dancer, I've done many different styles of dance, but I didn't feel authentic to this particular style. So I sought out a choreographer that had that experience. So in working together, we kind of marry the two different styles together. There are certain parts of the show that are more folk-based and Afro-Caribbean-based, and there's more numbers that are more Broadway, musical theater, musical staging-based. So I let Marian choreograph first, and then I sort of built things around that using her stylistic choices. Marian, did you want to jump in there?
Yeah. Well, I was... referred to Damon and Mary, the producer, from another actress whom I had been in a play with that also had an African theme. It was a mixed African and Greek tragedy play.
Right.
And she knew that I was also a dancer and a choreographer in Afro-contemporary dance. So she recommended me to Damon, and we met. And I was thrilled to work on a production. I'm always thrilled to work. I'm always thrilled to work, period, but I'm always thrilled to work on a production where I can really use all of my skills and training, and this has definitely been an opportunity for that.
Yeah, no, so Marian, what's the music like and that you have to work with? This is a score that's been around for, oh, I'd say probably close to 30 years now, but it's not one that's I guess, familiar to a lot of people in the sense that, you know, it's not, you know, The King and I or anything like that. What was it like to work with the material, the Flaherty score, if you will?
Well, I'm glad you asked that, because really that was the driving force for me for my choreography. So Damon did ask for me to choreograph at least six, you know, large dance numbers, and it's the music that really inspired me. It's a mix of reggae, soul, R&B, rock, and pop. And it's very dynamic and very driving. And also it has a lot of relationship to nature and animals, back to basics. And some of the music, especially the song Mama Will Provide, you know, brings out a lot of earthy tones. And then in a song like Pray, there are moody tones, and they relate to nature's wrath and storms and winds. And so with the wonderful percussive, you know, Afro-Caribbean drum beats that come in, I was really able to bring in some natural elements. And also, you know, funnily enough, I also happen to be teaching a course up at Simon Fraser University right now on Afro-Brazilian dance.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm teaching the gods and the goddesses of the West African Yoruba tradition that were brought to Brazil, but also brought to to the Caribbean islands by the Africans during this transatlantic slave trade. So I have infused a couple of the gods and goddesses, particularly Yansa, the goddess of wind and storm, and Yemanja, the goddess of the sea, into some of the choreography. So it really was a chance to tie a lot of elements together.
Yeah.
And I hope it makes for a powerful statement.
So, Marion, when you work with this cast, with this company, and I'm assuming, because some of them haven't worked professionally before or have had little experience before, what's it like to bring these various styles, these various kinds of dance to them? I mean, that must be exciting for them because this is something new to them.
You know, I treat everyone as equals, and I've choreographed a lot for the theater before, and in that particular sense, I've choreographed on actors a lot of times who are not dancers. And, you know, I've danced for a long time, ballet, contemporary, and various African dance styles. And I like to bring all of the movement down to a human level so that people can really relate to it. And this cast, though some of them are newer to the stage, many of them have experience and they're super hard workers. And I feel that they have really come into the movement from wherever they are and are sensing it and feeling it and then, you know, putting it together with the music and making something beautiful out of it. Yeah. Damon, what would you say about that?
Yeah, I agree. This cast is, we're the first semi-professional company that is putting this musical on. So we are working under the artist collective policy, which means that everybody will be engaged under a profit share, including we have an older equity actor in it as well, too. And, like Marion said, we have a variety of different styles in terms of levels of experience. So we've got people who are completely brand new to musical theater for their first time, and we've got very seasoned actors who have done many musicals and performance arts troupes before. So, I would tend to agree with Marion in the sense that we have to kind of approach it from a place where they are best showcased from their abilities. So if we find that we are choreographing something and something isn't working well or something isn't looking right, it's not personal about when we have to modify or change things. We have to think about what is best for the show and what is best for the overall look.
Yeah. Now, Damon, when you decide to choose a show like this, I mean, as I said a moment ago, it's not one that a lot of people are familiar with. What's your thinking behind bringing a show like this to the stage and mounting a production as this is?
Well, my producing partner, Mary Littlejohn, and I, we started the company a little over a year ago with the idea that we found that there was a hole in indie Vancouver theater in terms of opportunities for multi-generational and multi-ethnic cast members that are put in lead characters. Oftentimes in musicals in Vancouver, as lovely as they are, tend to feature more Caucasian actors and performers. So when we chose the show, we were looking for shows, A, that we could do with large ensemble cast members that is rarely done, that utilizes ethnic characters. And of course, the original Broadway production and subsequent Broadway revival is an all-black cast. And so although we wanted to be honoring that style, the writers themselves have actually written in alternative lines to be used for multi-ethnic productions, because this is probably one of the most the most done show in terms of community and amateur and youth theater productions, because there is a Once on This Island Junior version, which is a slightly smaller 1 hour version of this 1.5 hour musical. And it's done so often with so many multi-ethnic casts that in the end it's storytellers telling a story. And while it is about race and it is about social prejudice, you can still have those ideals about social prejudice and the redeeming power of love conquering death, and these sort of universal themes with a multi-ethnic cast. And of course, being in Vancouver, we wanted to honor that by casting people that would was reflected in our community. So even in terms of our gods, our four gods, who are, you know, omnipotent characters, they don't really have any race or gender. We've got a an actor from who was born in Africa. We've got an actor that was born that has Korean roots, a Jewish actor who has Hebrew roots, and then finally a Spanish actor from Peru. So, and then of course everyone else in between is sort of a mixed blend, including our two leads. Normally, it's supposed to be a peasant, a dark-skinned peasant girl, and a light-skinned French aristocrat. Mm-hmm. But we found two people that were best for the role. They happened to be both of mixed race, and we thought, all right, well, it's a story. People will understand that there is social prejudice here without necessarily seeing a visual racial diverge.
Now, so when you're in rehearsals, as you are now, and the show's about to open later this week, once you're working together, I mean, race really doesn't matter, nor should it matter to the audience that sees this, right?
Yeah, I should hope so. And Marion, maybe you can interject.
Yeah,
I know that
I definitely have a few things to say about that.
Yeah,
but.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I know that when Marion and I were talking, Marion felt like we wanted to really reach out to the Black and Vancouver community, and we did, but it was hard because a lot of them didn't come out to audition, or they were booked in other shows.
Right.
So, you know, as we go through this rehearsal process, yes, I would hope that audiences will look at this as like, okay, it is racially infused, but at the end of the day, it's like they are just people telling a story about these people, so they're endowing these qualities onto them without being insensitive about putting on blackface or cultural appropriation or stuff like that. But Marion, I'll pass it off to you.
Well, you know, I think these are delicate but important issues.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, even one of the senior members of the cast, who is from New Orleans, which is another place where there was African slaves and French mixing, right?
Uh-huh.
Is very interested in the story because the story is set in the French Antilles, and it does speak particularly to the color prejudice of the transatlantic slave trade in which Africans were brought to the New World, the
uh-huh.
Caribbean, and the lighter skin classes and that kind of class and color prejudice. However, this is an interest. I find this production interesting because there are many performers from Vancouver's Black community, talented performers, and there's also a diverse cast.
Mm-hmm.
And in this particular version, the young man who was light-skinned and who is supposed to be, you know, an untouchable, he's of a higher class, he's darker-skinned. He's half Black and half Filipino.
Mm.
And the young lady, who's supposed to be dark-skinned, is actually lighter-skinned. She's half Caucasian and half Filipino. So, and I mean, certainly race is not an issue when the cast is together. I mean, this is a huge multicultural cast doing their best. But art does make a statement, and this it is visual, and it sort of turns things on its head a little bit.
Yeah.
And it is interesting to see this young lady who's lighter-skinned falling in love with a darker skinned person and him being of the higher classes. So it, you know, you do your best with art and you put it out there. And of course it will mean something different to every person that sees it. Wouldn't you say, Damon?
Mm-hmm.
It'd be interesting to see how people read that or how it influences the story.
Yeah. So then are you both, when you're with the cast, and I'm sure they have lots of questions of you, Marion, as the choreographer, of you, Damon, as the director, are there discussions other than, say, the technical ones of how to do, you know, something on stage? I mean, are you talking about the message of the show, what you want to impart onto an audience, say?
Marion, I'll let you field that first.
Yeah. You know, I'll be honest, this is such a huge show.
Mm-hmm.
With so much song and dance. and everybody is working so hard to that end to make the production as absolutely terrific and tight as it can be, that those kind of discussions have not really been had out in the open so far. But the interesting thing I would say is that it's all in the script.
Mm.
So they are singing out lines about people being divided and about prejudice and about not being able to come together. And in that way, I mean, they have to be thinking about it.
Right.
But they're a sensitive, hardworking cast, and some of them, they range in age. Some of them are quite young, teenagers up to seniors.
Uh-huh.
And I have to say they're handling the subject matter and the heavy workload with great professionalism.
Right.
Damon, what would you...
Yeah, I agree with all of that. I mean, I often will ask the cast in rehearsals and even through our final rehearsals, you know, why are you telling the story? What does the story mean to you? We have a song, you know, the finale song is called "We Tell the Story," and it's essentially talking about why these characters dance and sing and pray and love and work and act and do all these things in order to tell this particular story. And each of their cultural backgrounds, I would hope, is infused in their presentation of this, because although it is about classism divided between light-skinned and darker-skinned people on this island, I would hope that they take their own personal injustices and social stigmas and any kind of cultural polarizations that they've ever experienced within their own family life or their own historic life beyond their immediate family in their cultural heritage, and allows them to infuse that into their performance so that it's not just them singing about class divisions within the parameters of the show. It almost becomes an anthem to their own personal struggles and hardships so that they feel some sort of cathartic experience and qualities when things do work out in the end.
Yeah, it's a timely show, and it's a hopeful show, isn't it?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Absolutely. This show is super, extremely timely. I mean, like the Broadway revival is happening right now, and I was reading a couple articles with Michael Arden, the director of that production, whom I admire greatly, and I will sort of emphasize what he says about how this show is so extremely timely in the sense that we're living in such a tumultuous time where there's so much class division. Even within our own, like even within our North American sensibilities, things that you often wouldn't expect to see in 2018,
uh-huh.
kind of rear their ugly head out at us. And so this show, what it does is that it heals your heart, it heals your soul, and it allows you to believe again in the power of self-sacrifice and in the power that love really trumps everything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Marion, it is a show that we need to see, right?
Oh, you definitely need to see this. And, of course, it has its Romeo and Juliet intonation, and it's all about young love and young love knowing no limit. And, you know, even for me, I've had a few tears running down. Just a lot of us forget about that kind of absolute pure innocence and joy, and we forget that it actually does exist.
Yeah.
But it's a very beautiful show, and the performers are really beautiful, and there's so much talent on the show, and even though it's a lot of hard work, everybody, you know, I'm just so pleased about the director and the producer and the Damon and Mary and the Amy Gartner, the musical director. Everybody really cares deeply
right.
about the show, and it means something to them, and so everybody's giving 150%.
Yeah. Damon, you mentioned earlier that this company that you co-founded, Fabulous Theater, has been up and running for about a year now.
Yes.
When you decide to start a company like this, I mean, there's obviously a mandate. You mentioned that a moment ago about the sort of casts you want to see in your productions. How has it been received a year later? I mean, especially from, and not only from audiences, but especially the acting community here. I mean, what did they tell you about these opportunities that your company has afforded them?
Yeah, you know, it's really lovely. When I was approached by Mary just, you know, a little over a year ago, when she had this idea that she wanted to do this show, Songs for New World, which was our first production, you know, and she wanted to do it with a bigger extended cast and multiracial, and she really wanted to use it as a platform to talk about these really big, larger social issues. I thought to myself, wow, okay, this is something that I could really get behind, because I was really reluctant to start a theater company for a long, long time, because I just thought there's so many independent theater companies start and fail and start and disappear, and just the resources are just so pulled so thinly in the arts community. But I thought, you know what, I think that this is something that I can get behind, because in Vancouver, we are missing an opportunity, a platform for young actors and older actors, or for anyone of color and intergenerational status, those kinds of opportunities. So I think the response has been really generally positive. We do something a little differently with how we, even with how we cast, and the response has been great. You know, anytime anybody comes in and auditions for us, between Mary and myself, we'll send them a very detailed, even if we've declined them and not having them in the show, we'll send them a very detailed email thing talking about how, you know, what lovely qualities they bring to it and what other further opportunities they should pursue. And it's almost like it's a master class for them. And so their response is that this is the nicest audition they've ever been, the nicest rejection they've ever received. This is, you know, it's a great opportunity to see so much diversity on stage. Some of our reviewers last year was that they mentioned about how we've collected a rainbow, if you will, of ethnicities on the stage. And so although it was an ambitious undertaking, kudos to us for being able to have and find so many different ethnicities in Vancouver to showcase in this opportunity. So I think that in moving forward with the company, or with this particular show and the company, audiences will again see a show where they can, like, especially for younger audience members, kids can see themselves on stage. Young Korean kids, young Chinese kids, young Filipino kids can see themselves on stage and go, I can do this one day, and not be so turned off by the fact that it's musical theater is traditionally so heavily cast by Caucasian people. And so I know that I definitely felt that way when I was 8 years old and I went to see a production of Grease, and they had a Japanese Danny Zuko, and I thought to myself, wow, I could do this one day. And so I firmly believe that our company has the power to allow future generations to see themselves not marginalized at all, but in characters of intelligence and strength and status and power, and not just playing, you know, side characters or comic relief or servant character or whatever, but they are playing these characters of high status and so I really hope that the acting community and beyond audiences will really embrace that, and we can continue to do what we love to do.
Yeah, well, long may it continue, Marion. I guess you mentioned a moment ago, other than providing work, I mean, it must be energizing to realize that there's a company like this in this city, especially.
You're asking me,
yeah.
Marion?
Yeah,
it is very energizing, and what I've found is that they're very egalitarian in their approach to working with other professionals and also cast members, and I felt very welcomed and very like it's a partnership, and I've given my all, and I've really tried to, you know, I've had a long career in Afro-contemporary dance, and I've really tried to give the best of that to this production so that those Afro-Caribbean roots can really shine through, you know, with lots of drum beats and lots of real depositing in the foot and hips and work with the hips and the bust and everything like that. And the cast is taking to it. That's something I have a lot of pride about, because I did dance with Canada's leading dance company for Afro-contemporary dance, the choreographer Zadma Bungu, company Danse Nyata Nyata in Montreal. And the training was amazing. And it's really nice to have a production like this and a company like this that's willing to bring this type of work forward and give a platform.
Yeah.
For an Afro-Caribbean story, and to do it in a diverse way. It's been a positive experience all around.
Well, all good wishes to both of you for this run. I guess I shouldn't say break a leg to a dancer, should I?
No breaking of legs, but breaking of legs in the theater then.
Indeed. Thanks, Damon. Thanks, Marion.
Thank you very much, Joseph.
At Fabulous Theater is the Twitter handle, and the website for tickets is ootivan.brownpapertickets.com. Once on This Island is on the 6th through the 14th of April at the Red Gate Review Stage on Granville Island. Damon Jang and Marion Landers join me on the line from here in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Plunta.